Welcome to the Spectrum of Health podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Christine Schaffner, and today my guest is Dr. Jeanette Daniels, and we're going to be talking all about quantum biology tips for brain health. Dr. Daniels is our newest member of the Eminence Health team, and so if you're in Seattle and want to come visit, she can put light in your blood or do ozone therapy or other things like EBU in the IV room, and we would love to support you. I hope you enjoy this informative podcast. Welcome, Dr. Daniels. It's an honor to have you on the podcast.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. And I'm excited to be here and excited to work with you.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited to get to know you more and more. And Dr. Daniels, I've hired recently to be part of the Eminence Health team, especially she is operating and in charge of our IV therapy room, which there is so much that happens on a regular basis, but it's such a powerful part of our medicine. And so I'd love people to get to know you before we dive into all the wonderful medicine that you practice. And so, Jeanette, why don't you just tell us a little bit about how you became a naturopathic doctor?
Okay. Yeah. I feel like all roads lead to Rome, as they say. And since I was really young, I was really into health and wellness and fitness, and started my journey off being a fitness trainer and an athletic coach and then a massage therapist. And I sort of just felt like I wanted to put more tools in the toolbox for, you know, in the way of medicine. And so I went off to naturopathic medical school pretty late in life, nearing 40 years old, which was very challenging to be a non-conventional student. But yeah, so I tackled it and got tackled in medical school, and I'm happy to be on the other side. And I then did a two-year residency at the Cameron Wellness Center in Salt Lake City, Utah, where I really honed in on those IV skills, became proficient at that, and also at bioidentical hormone replacement. So it was a great 2 years. And then I shuffled off to Seattle to work at Tummy Temple. And I was there for a glorious 5.5 years and learned so much about colonics and lymphatic drainage. And I created the IV program there, as a matter of fact, which was really quite divine in its initiation, as I launched it right before COVID, not knowing COVID was coming. Yeah. It was perfect intervention for helping to keep people vital during that time. And then, as you know, life has it, you want to grow and you want to learn more. And when you start feeling like that itch that, you know, you might be a little stagnant, it's time to move on and grow. And so hence, here I am with you today to learn these amazing advanced IV therapies that are NASA level, if you ask me. Oh my goodness. I haven't been intimidated since medical school. But just incredible equipment over there. And so I'm really excited to learn them and to start providing them for people, because I think they are just next level IVs.
Well, no, thank you so much for being here. And I'm so glad that you listened to the call and you're on the team. And, you know, just I love that your background, not only in the, you know, health and fitness world, but even more so that you learned the power of lymphatic drainage and colon hydrotherapy. I've learned from many of my patients that that is, you know, foundational and such important work, when especially when you're on the healing journey and you're recovering from a chronic illness, it can really move the needle. And so I love how you have that foundational knowledge with the beauty of the IV work. And at Eminence, we have the Weber lasers, so we can use that through intravenous therapy combined with different IVs that are called photosensitizers. So we can use methylene blue or curcumin, or even some of the B vitamins are photosensitizers. So that gives a really therapeutic effect, whether it helps cells with apoptosis or oxidative burst to help kill pathogens. So we found that those are really helpful. And we have red and we have green and we have blue and yellow and UV and infrared, and all of them have a biological activity. And I'm always so amazed at the body, how we're wired to communicate with light as well as receive light from our environment. And we use those principles to harness this therapy. And then we also have EBU, which you're doing a great job diving in with, and that is a blood filtration and ozonation treatment. And you can see the difference, you know, in the blood from the, you know, outflow to the inflow of the new fresh blood that is highly ozonated and then goes through a light. And so part of why I hired you was also that you had this love not only for the medicine, but also for really, you know, I do a lot of education on quantum physics in my podcasts and in my platforms, and you shared that right away in your cover letter. And so please, you know, share the journey, how you kind of took naturopathic medicine a little deeper with quantum biology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just recently started diving into the quantum world about a year ago. It was probably sometime in July when I was getting ready to launch my own podcast. And my co-host, Janelle Hartman, had suggested that we cover sunshine and the benefits of it, not just vitamin D, or I call hormone D.
Yeah.
And so I, in my very Virgo way, started binging on all sorts of other podcasts that were talking about light. And that's when I came across Dr. Jack Cruz, the famous neurosurgeon. And I listened to an interview done by a podcaster in Australia, and I just was mind blown by this information. And that was my initiation into the world of quantum. And I just haven't stopped.
Yeah. It's a fun rabbit hole to go down, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just amazing, because I think the thing that I love about it most is that you realize that you are a light being, actually making intracellular light, UVC, and in the presence of either cold thermogenesis or just from UV light and near infrared or far infrared, all of the infrareds. So it's amazing to realize that on a literal quantum level, you're making light. And so you realize that if I'm making it, that must mean that I need to also receive it as a light being. And I, what I love about the IVs that you offer is that you have all this light in conjunction with the ozone, for example, or even just a simple Myers. I mean, you can just add the full spectrum to every IV, which I think is pretty profound, especially in a place like Seattle, Washington, at this very high latitude, 46 north latitude, where we don't really reap the benefits of the sun, but maybe 2 months a year. So what an incredible offering we have at your office to be able to offer that light medicine.
Yeah, no, I love that you, you know, feel so passionate about that. And when I learned through Fritz Albert Popp's work around the biophotonic emissions that cells communicate and our DNA is, you know, really, you know, emits, and that's a big part of, you know, the capacity of DNA communication, it just, how can you like turn your eye on that after you learn that, you know? And it's just the collective to continue to catch up to understand that. And I really, you know, love the work of, you know, the work that Jack Cruz has just, you know, really kind of created a ripple effect with. You know, he definitely has been a thought leader and a pioneer. And we can see, you know, in modern life, how our light environment is so compromised, you know, from our indoor lighting to the overexposure of blue light to not getting outside or not being at the latitudes that, you know, he loves to, you know, share and teach about that are the most profound healing. So how do you teach people to incorporate and to more light in their life and the right kind of light and this whole circadian rhythm and biology of light? Just get us started.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a great way to dive into brain health, because that's what the month is about, right? Yeah. So for me, you know, and I've had a few patients with Alzheimer's and dementia. And so for me, going back to light, magnetism, and water is the first place to go, because I feel you can't heal in the same environment that made you sick. You have to shift your environment. And classically, because we've gone indoors since the creation of the electrical grid and what was it, the beginning of the 1900s, not only have we not touched the ground with our bare feet anymore, we've gone inside away from light. And so on average, people are getting maybe about 10% of their week is outside, and kids spend triple the amount of time indoors on their blue light devices. So now you're getting exposure to this unopposed blue light, right? So in an effort to not demonize one light spectrum, because they all have a beneficial purpose, what we see in nature is that Blue light is never used in isolation. And that's exactly what happened when we laid down the electrical grid and went inside. And then we moved away from incandescent light bulbs to just these light bulbs that just are for light, right? Just like the light, the visible light spectrum. And so you're getting a metabolic shift in a real way, not just with regard to weight issues, and we'll go into that a little bit, but you're getting a shift in the brain, because your eyes, which are a part of your brain, they have these non-visible photoreceptors, these melano they're blue light detectors, if you will. And so when you're looking at a computer screen or you're looking at a phone, then you're just getting blue light, and that causes the vitamin A to disassociate from the opsin. And so you're getting eye problems, myopia, night blindness, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a whole bunch that Jack goes over in regards to brain health and how that is affecting metabolics downstream, metabolic syndrome, any of that, type 2 diabetes. And so I start my patients off typically talking about their light environment, their light diet. So to answer your question more directly, I'm going after their light environment, right? Normally, doctors want to talk about diet first. Yeah. I want to hear about your light diet.
Yeah.
Because you receive more photons from light than you do from food. And the final result, the final purpose of food is for the photons. It's not for the macrobiota or, you know, like carbs, fats, all that protein.
Yep.
It's not about that. It's about the photons. And so if I'm receiving the light energy that I was meant to receive, I actually eat less for one.
Yep.
So, and then I also let my patients know that under this blue light toxicity, I call it toxicity when it is not with red, for example. When you only get blue light, then you cause an increase in CLIP, which goes into a whole metabolic process of causing your body to make sugar and insulin. So you can literally become type 2 diabetic and gain weight just by looking at your computer screen under just blue light. So I have patients who have a pristine diet, some of them even eating better than I do, okay, and don't overeat and exercise and do everything that they, you know, you would normally hear your fitness trainer tell you to do to lose weight. And they're coming in and they are not able to lose weight, and they also are pre-diabetic or frankly diabetic. How is this possible? I'm not eating sugar. Well, I tell them, guess what? You're on your computer for 8 hours a day for work, then you go home and you go on your Netflix or whatever you have going on to unwind, right? You're making sugar at a minimum 8 hours a day if you're on the blue light in isolation. So this is how I start. You got to go for the light diet first.
Yeah, no, I think that's an incredible, you know, piece of knowledge that people really need to take in. And I see that all the time, like really thin people who, you know, are, you know, eating a healthy diet and doing all the right things, but, you know, their hemoglobin A1C or their blood sugar, or the, you know, their fasting glucose or their insulin is elevated. And, you know, that is a really good, you know, tip and pearl. And I know it can affect leptin levels, you know, as well, because of the, you know, the eyes and how the light communicates to eventually the pituitary, you know, gland. And so it's a really good tip for listeners. What do you do in your home? I know you have that beautiful Himalayan salt lamp in the background. I've shared with people, I have red light at home when I work past, you know, dinner. So we have the natural sunset being a little bit later these days, but how do you kind of organize your light environment, you know, on a regular basis?
Well, I mean, everyone's talking about how the incandescent light bulbs are becoming illegal. Well, I was able to get some off of Amazon. I noticed that there was a softer look to the office. It's very important to me to have that, because, you know, look at, a sick doctor can't help anybody.
Yeah.
So
we have halogen in the glass that Julie Conway, who's been on the podcast, blew, and then incandescence. And they're becoming harder to get, but you can still get them. I think it's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would also, so yes, I have incandescent light bulbs in my house, and then I have red light. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've got a toddler at my house, and if it's bath time and it's dark outside, we bring the red light into the bathroom and she takes a bath under the red light. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just an incandescent light lit house. Unless it's time for, you know, getting close to an hour before bed, then it's just like just everything off if I can. And then just maybe have the Himalayan lamp on because that's amber. I would recommend, I interviewed Gott Zimmerman. He is an optics engineer.
Oh, cool.
And he has the one and only LED light bulb that has near infrared in it.
Oh, wow.
I guess it's like a 1-to-3 ratio, which would be equivalent to the amount of light that you would get sitting under a tree.
Yeah.
He has the only light bulb that, and they're, you know, of course, the FDA is trying to get him out of there. So I'd get his light bulbs if you can, but he's got a nice desk lamp as well, which also boasts no flicker.
Mm.
So Scott Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, look him up. I think that's awesome. And, you know, more and more people are coming out with, in our worlds, of course, not mainstream, but, you know, type of health light and, you know, different types of lighting that you can just pop into your lamps or your outlets at home so you can really be mindful. It's amazing how much better you feel when you get adjusted. It's almost like hurts you to see normal light after sunset when, you know, you're used to kind of creating, you know, amber or red light in the evening. It's pretty profound.
Yeah, I'll have my patients first and foremost, because most of the blue light's coming from their computer 8 hours a day, right? If you will. And so I have them download, you know, just some blue blocking software. And so that really helps, like Iris.
Yeah.
Iris is my favorite. It's just easy to dial up and down. I have it yellow during the day. And then once the sun sets, I throw it all the way to red. So whatever show I'm watching, everyone's red.
Yeah, love it.
So, I think that is so utterly just imperative to have the lighting corrected again. And really the biggest problem is we're not getting the near infrared. That makes up 90% of the spectrum. That is not in our bulbs.
These
windows that we've made, be it triple pane, or they have this in order to decrease, quote unquote, decrease cost of electricity and air conditioning and what have you, they put something in it so it blocks all of the near infrared. And that is where the magic happens in so many ways.
Yes.
Yeah. So, just open the window too.
Yeah.
So that you can get the near infrared in, even if you're going to be on a computer with blue light or what have you. It's nonlinear. Light is nonlinear. You can open the window and it's flooding in. You can't see it, right?
Yeah.
It's flooding in and it's balancing out that blue light in the building or in your classroom or where you're at work. So at a minimum, if you can open the window, that's key.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea. What do you think about blue blockers and all of that?
Yeah, I mean, I like them. I don't wear them because simply I've just changed my environment.
Yeah.
I think if you've got a kid at home, those are really good if they have to go to school, because it's not like they can download Iris on their computers or tablets if it's school owned. But I think those are really good for kids. I think you need to find the right company, because I've seen some that are clear lenses and, you know, they're boasting that they're blocking blue, but they're not. I mean, they really should be either yellow for the daytime and red for the evening.
Yeah. We're going to have, the owner of Viva Race on, pretty soon in the next month or so. So he, you know, has done, you know, he's an engineer and he also follows Cruise, and has figured out how to actually give you clip-on lenses throughout the day. So you can have the same frame, but change the lens for the time of day so you don't have to keep changing your glasses.
Yeah, I mean, and also the other thing to note is that, you know, if you have prescription glasses, then you definitely have to have some clip-ons too, right? And so that's next level where you actually have to get those lenses to be suit your prescription.
He does prescription too. Yeah.
Oh, so perfect.
And the UV in, because, you know, he was reminding me because I have, I wear contacts and I take a morning walk every morning and I walk into and from work. And I've been more mindful to take, you know, not wear my contacts in the morning so I get the UV light in my eyes, you know. So
perfect.
No, I think it's a huge difference, you know, for sure. Jeanette, tell me any other, you know, brain health tips on this would be in Brain Health Month. Tell us a little bit about your view about melatonin.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there's four different kinds of melatonin. And the one that we think about in terms of brain health is the systemic melatonin. And the systemic melatonin is made throughout the day. In fact, we actually start making the systemic melatonin when we get that spike of cortisol in the morning.
Yeah.
So it's under that, what we call hormetic stress, right? Mm-hmm. You start working out or you're doing a cold plunge or you're doing a hot sauna. It's a little bit stressful to the system. And that starts making that systemic melatonin, which is absolutely critical at a mitochondrial level for the brain. So you've got that melatonin, and then the other melatonin you have coming from the pineal gland. So, and that's also very critical for brain health as circadian rhythm plays a part there. So getting proper sleep. You know, if you're not sleeping, it doesn't matter how many supplements I give you, you have to sleep.
Yeah.
That is so hard for so many of us because we have so much artificial light.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a big thing. So, you know, some people will take the melatonin supplementation, et cetera, et cetera. My preference is, of course, that you go and you make those two different melatonin types. The first one is the one you're going to make when you wake up in the morning with that spike of cortisol. You're going to go outside. You're going to let the red and the infrared light hit as much of the surface of your skin as possible and your eyes. And you can look directly at the sun because there's no UV light yet. And you can start stimulating all of that melatonin there because that morning sunrise exposure starts to set up your production for your hormones for the day. And melatonin is a hormone. So making sure that you're not willy-nilly just prescribing yourself melatonin because it's a hormone. I mean, that's hormone supplementation. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
I feel the same way about vitamin D. I don't think people should just take vitamin D because it is a hormone and it's a misnomer to call it a vitamin.
Yeah.
So my preference is you talk to your doctor and, you know, check your levels, et cetera, and then have someone, you know, a practitioner take care of the melatonin stuff with you if you need an oral.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as far as brain health goes, the melatonin is really helpful at a mitochondrial level as an antioxidant.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much the biggest take-home message there is that we know now that melatonin is actually made inside of the mitochondria.
Mm-hmm.
People think the pineal gland is the only place we get melatonin, but as I noted, there's four different kinds, and the systemic one is like the one that's like anti-cancer and antioxidant. So that's the winner right there for brain health.
Yep. Yeah. No, that's awesome. Dr. Hemal Patel was on podcast, and he taught us about his mitochondrial test that we're using here called the Me Screen, and he has the ability to see what works on the mitochondria that are in duress or need, you know, recovery or, you know, repair if someone is sick. And, you know, I bet it's melatonin. And melatonin is, you know, one of the most powerful substances to, you know, support, especially if in my Me Screen, which I shared, I had a lot of reactive oxygen species. I've shared, you know, my story. I've had some stress over the years. And, you know, of course, I'm doing my best to take care of myself, but the melatonin can really, really help. You know, production of energy is a free radical event. And so that's why we have, you know, the mitochondrial melatonin in there. So no, great points, Jeanette. And I hadn't really thought about having four types of melatonin before. It would be used to call the gut microbiome another form of melatonin, or
that I'm not sure. The two that I've studied are those two, the pineal and the mitochondrial one, the systemic one in that way. The other thing that's really good for helping to create that melatonin in the mitochondria is cold thermogenesis.
Yeah.
So you can see how cold thermogenesis, then it's considered a stressor, right? That's a hormetic stress, you know, going in the Puget Sound in the middle of winter. Hello.
Yeah, yeah. But
you're definitely going to make that systemic melatonin from that. And that's pretty powerful for the brain as well.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. Really good point. This is great. Is there anything else you want to share about brain health and quantum biology?
I think the one last thing I might note, which is probably one of my favorite, is melanin renovation. So, of course, that's going to come. That's the pigmentation, and you have three different ones there. But the neuromelanin, it's the pigment, right, that's inside of the brain. And so, we know that in order to make this melanin, any of the melanins, you need the UVA and you need the UVB. And so basically putting sunblock on and wearing sunglasses is going to inhibit the production of the neuromelanin that we absolutely need to prevent neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. And you see it when you autopsy someone with Parkinson's. You've got a decrease in that really dark, dark, dark melanin that the brain has in that substantia nigra. So what a person with Parkinson's would need is more UV light. Okay. So I think that's the biggest, the most important thing to me for the brain is the melanin renovation, because we know that melanin is a battery bank.
Yeah.
And that helps to make ATP and energy. And the other fascinating thing about melanin is it's a heavy metal chelator. So if you want to help detox metals, which we know are a big thing in neurodegenerative processes, melanin actually will chelate these heavy metals.
Wow.
So I love having a good tan.
Yeah.
Everyone usually says I'm the darkest person in Seattle,
but
I am Mediterranean. But anyways, so of course you want to make sure you build a solar callus and you're not just outside burning yourself.
Yeah.
But we need to stop having this fear around getting a little bit of color to us, because if you are really pasty white and you could afford a little bit more color to your skin, imagine the melanin deficiency at the neuronal level. Inside of the brain. So yes. So, you know, this, because otherwise your brain will pull in the melanin from your skin and put it in your brain to save itself, to help itself.
Do people get vitiligo because of that?
Yes, definitely. And that was the Michael Jackson situation. I had a patient with vitiligo. She moved to Texas, and it just gets worse at these higher latitudes. Because your brain is pulling in that melanin from your skin and you get these white spots, right? These non-pigmented sections of the skin.
Yeah, I was curious about that. How do people not burn? How do they make sure that they're not, you mentioned a solar callus. How can people go out in the sun and be confident that they're...
I think the most important thing is that sunrise exposure, because the red light and the infrared light preps your skin by making a protein called filaggrin, and that prevents or minimizes the reddening and the inflammation of the skin. And so if you can build that solar callus for a couple of months, every day you're up with the sun, get as much skin exposed to that red and infrared light as possible, you start to build that protein up. And even a Fitzpatrick 1 can actually have a little bit of a tan, or even your redhead. Yeah, your redheads, in fact. Everyone can adapt to varying sun levels and intensity, but you want to make sure you build that solar callus, and that is the way to do it at sunrise.
I love that. Yeah, No, I especially we're in a lot of we have a lot of light in Seattle right now, or when we're recording this, and you know, we're all a lot happier in Seattle when it's this time of year. But we have, I mean, like, it's interesting, people study us, we have more MS in this area. There's, you know, definitely some hot spots of different diseases, and they, you know, have all sorts of ideas, you know, but they liken them to maybe vitamin D, but it's so much more than that.
100%. The higher you go in latitude, the more autoimmune diseases you have. Rochester, New York is number one for MS, but we're up there. Yeah. And so, you know, once you get closer to the equator, you almost don't see any autoimmune diseases. So we know that sunlight exposure in the full spectrum is playing a part with autoimmune. Of course, it's multifactorial. There's no question about it, but it certainly doesn't help to not get any light.
Yeah, no, I was, as you've come on the team, I have been thinking about it. It's like, this is already in my, you know, sphere, but you know, there's so much to do to share with patients, but it's like the foundation, you know, like this is like the, you know, you cannot build a strong house without this foundation, you know, moving forward with your care. So yeah, take it in, you know, if these are new ideas, you know, go down the rabbit hole. If they're things you've been pondering and haven't know where to start, Jeanette has given you a lot of great, you know, pearls. And, you know, tell us, let us know, message us if you keep implementing these in your life and you feel a benefit, if you turn around your hormones or your blood sugar, or have more energy in the day. Let us know. We want to hear from you. And if you want to explore intravenous light therapy and get your photons, if you're in somewhere like Seattle, you know, please, you know, look us up, Eminence Health, and Dr. Daniels is going to be doing an awesome job lighting up your blood. So, and so awesome. Well, is there anything else, Jeanette, that is left on your heart that you want to share as we wrap?
No, I think that's it. Just lean into nature and lean into the intelligence of the human body.
Yeah. Yeah. So well put. We believe in the intelligence of the human body in this office. So, well, thank you so much for being on the podcast, and we'll have all the information about who you are and where you are in the show notes. And thank you again.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, of course. Bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Spectrum of Health podcast. I hope you enjoyed my conversation today with Dr. Daniels. Please check out all the information about her and how to schedule at Eminence Health in the show notes. Have a beautiful day. Bye, everyone.